Chapter 27 Void Stalker. She came from the darkness, just as her sisters had done. Varthon was the first to see her, and shouted a warning to the others. The cry died in his throat as soon as it started, ended by the spear blade punched through his breastplate, bursting both of his hearts in a single blow. A full meter of the black spear thrust out from his spine for a single moment, until the weapon slid back from his flesh with vicious patience. She watched each of them as she let the body fall, while a flatline tune played out in every Night Lord's helm. Every figure moved at once. The legionaries lifted their bolters and opened fire, each of them unleashing a torrent of explosive shells, and none of them coming close to striking her. Flatline wails rang in Talos's ears as he fired at the dancing, flickering figure. Centuries of training and battle aligned with the targeting processes in his Terminator plate and retinal display, guiding his aim as much as instinct. The storm bolter bucked and banged in his grip, spitting shells in a tide that only relented when he had to reload. He backed away, crunching another magazine home. All of them were reloading out of sync, all sense of unity and covering fire gone in a moment. Talos saw, in one blurry scan of the chamber, how their bolter fire had savaged every single wall without once hitting their prey. Jekrish White Eyes died next, his head cleaved clean from his shoulders. As the body started to topple, Talos lifted his fist to block his brother's spinning helm from hitting him. It clanged aside, dropping to the floor. He was already firing at the black blur, aiming in the places instinct and his targeting reticule said she'd be. More stonework died in detonation craters and splintering chips. She didn't even slow down to kill. The spear reaped right through Gol'tatha's waist, severing him from his legs. In the same second, Faravan died halfway across the chamber. A three-bladed throwing star forged of alien iron and black fire, cracking his head down the middle. Both bodies fell, twinning their thuds as they struck stone. Mercutian cried out, his bulky suit of armor arching its back as he cursed. Talos caught a flicker of movement in his visor display as the spear lanced back out from his brother's back. Mercutian staggered forward, only prevented from falling by the artificial ironclad muscles in his armor's joints. His storm bolter boomed once more, before spilling from his grip. When the throwing blade hit Uzas, it crashed against his horned helm, sending ceramide chunks clattering off the walls. He didn't stagger as Mercutian had. He tumbled one step and dropped to his hands and knees, heavy enough to send tremors through the floor. Talos saw blood drip to the dark stone ground, pooling between Uzas's shaking hands. "Talos!" crackled the vox.
"Not now!"
"Brother," said Varial, "when are you returning to the surf?"
"Not now!"
He followed the blur with his storm bolter, just as it danced behind Carossa, the last soul standing in third claw. Carossa turned, as fast as a gen-hanced human body was capable of moving, lashing out with his howling chainsword. In the single second it took Talos to draw aim, Carossa was lurching backwards, blood gouting from his severed arm. He made it two steps before the spear's backswing disemboweled him, spilling a wet slop of innards down the front of his warplate. Talos fired over Carossa's shoulder. The single crack and the throaty burst that followed were the sweetest sounds he'd ever heard. He saw the blur resolve into a female figure, as tall as any of them in their Terminator ceramite, falling back with her head snapped to the side. Mercutian was struggling to reach for his dropped bolter, and Uzas was still down, but Sirion aligned his aim the same moment Talos fired again. A silver crescent arc blurred before her, detonating shell after shell before they could touch her. It took the Prophet's eyes a couple of precious seconds to adjust to the speed, before he realized she was blocking their incoming fire with the blade of her spear. She couldn't shatter them all. A withering spit of shells crashed against her black and bone armor, sending her reeling again. Talos broke off to reload. Sirion did the same a second later. Both of them froze with their bolters empty, staring at the damaged wall where she'd been a moment before. Carosa crashed to the ground, breaking the sudden silence. For a long moment, Sirion turned in place, unwilling to believe she was gone. Other less intrusive sounds filtered back into being, Makutian's choking breaths, Uzas's pained grunts, and the hiss of cooling bolter muzzles.
"I can't see her," Sirion voxed over their squad link, "and I'm out of ammunition."
"As am I."
Talos resisted the need to check on Uzas and Makutian, never taking his eyes from the walls as he turned back to back with Sirion.
"She's still here," said Sirion. "She must be."
"No."
Talos gestured with his power fist. A trail of blood spatters led from the chamber back into the tunnels.
"She's running."
Sirion threw his empty storm bolter away, discarding it without care.
"We should be doing the same."
The servitors awaited them, still silent in their dead-minded reverie. Talos was first into the chamber, gesturing for the augmented slaves to attend him.
"Get me out of this armor."
"Compliance," uttered 12 voices at once.
"And me,"
said Makutian. Unhelmed now, he spat blood onto the floor. It started dissolving the stone at once.
"Compliance," said the rest of the servitors.
"Make it quick,"
Sirion voxed, taking guard with Uzas at the entrance archway. Makutian threw him his storm bolter as the servitors closed around. Sirion checked the ammunition feed on his retinal display and readied the weapon. Despite his wound, Uzas stood straight and speechless. The only sound registering from him was the tidal flow of his slow breathing. His helmet was a cracked ruin, bearing most of his blood-stained face beneath. Unfocused eyes stared into the tunnel, as did the twin barrels of his storm bolter.
"I'll miss this armor,"
Sirion said.
"Uzas and Makutian are only still alive because of this war plate. That spear went through battle armor like a knife through flesh."
Makutian muttered a reluctant agreement. He was struggling to stand, and each movement brought a fresh muscle cramp, with another pulse of pain slithering up his spine.
"I'm not going to make it much further,"
he said, needing to spit the blood from his mouth again. The servitor's machine tools went to work, drilling, unscrewing, prizing plates clear. Talos felt himself breathing easier with each layer that came free.
"None of us are," he said. "We didn't come down here to win."
Uzas chuckled at that, but said nothing more.
"Brother,"
Talos voxed.
"Uzas!"
The other Night Lord turned his broken helm, bloody features looking back at Talos.
"What is it?"
The Terminator shoulder blades were machined free, coming loose with a series of crunches and clicks, and carried away by the servitors. Talos met Uzas's eyes, black to black, sensing something had changed in his brother's face, but unable to decide what.
"Are you well?" "Aye, brother."
Uzas turned back to his guard duty.
"Never better."
"You sound well. You sound very clear."
"I imagine I do."
Uzas's armor gave a slow growl as he glanced at Sirion.
"I feel clearer."
The servitors were removing Makutian's power fist when his legs gave way. He stumbled, needing to lean against the wall to remain standing. Blood was running from the corner of his mouth.
"Leave me behind when you go," he said. "My spine's aflame, and it's spreading to my legs. I can't run like this."
Sirion was the one to answer.
"He's right anyway. It's time to split up, Talos. She'll go through us like a cold wind if we hunt her as a pack."
Uzas gave another guttural chuckle.
"You just want to hide. Enough of your perspective, drooling one."
Makutian bit back a growl.
"Enough talk of splitting up. Leave me and get the Prophet back to the surface.
Varials come for a reason, fools. Talos can't die here. Shut up, all of you.
Talos breathed deep as the helm was lifted clear.
Uzes, Sirion, be silent and watch the tunnels.
Malkarion's hunt was slower, but no less purposeful. He made his way through the tunnels, backtracking when he encountered a collapsed passageway, or a hall too narrow and low for him to traverse.
This was once a laborium. The Legion's tech marines worked here. Not all of them, of course, but many.
Marlona limped alongside the colossal war machine. Her torchlight flickered and died yet again, and this time smacking it against her thigh didn't bring it back to life. For several seconds, she stood in the darkness, listening to the dusty ghosts of the forgotten fortress.
Our tech marines and trained serfs constructed servitors in a ceaseless horde. Captives, failed aspirants. Humans harvested from 100 worlds, brought here to serve. Can you imagine that? Can you picture the production lines filling this bare hall?
I can't see anything, Lord.
Oh.
Light returned with a crack. A lance of illumination burned from the dreadnought's shoulder.
Is that better?
Yes, Lord.
Stop using that word. I am no one's lord.
Marlona swallowed, looking around where the beam of light pointed.
As you wish, Lord.
Malkarion made his slow, grinding way across the large chamber.
It is all so different now. This is no longer my home, and it is no longer my war. One last hunt, though. For all of the pain, it was worth it to hunt one last time.
Yes, Lord. If you say so, Lord.
The dreadnought whirred on its waist axis, coming about to a new direction, and stomping that way when its legs realigned. Sparks briefly lit up the tarnished armor plating. Their last few run-ins with the masked aliens had left their mark on the war machine's iron body. Still, he had slaughtered them all before they could come anywhere near her.
Are you alive, Lord? I mean, you speak of death and resurrection. What are you?
The dreadnought made an awkward gear-grinding sound.
I was Captain Malkarion of 10th Company, called War Sage by my Primarch, who found my long treatises on warfare to be pointless, but amusing. He lectured me more than once, you know. Told me to serve with the 13th, where my wit would be more welcome.
She nodded slowly, seeing her breath mist in the air.
What's a Primarch?
Malkarion made the same gear-shifting noise again.
Just a myth,
the vox speakers boomed.
Forget I spoke.
For a time they stood in silence. Malkarion tuned back into the vox, listening in contemplative quiet to the words of Varial, Talos, Lucorophus, and the last surviving members of his company. The arrival of the flayer was a surprise, as was the presence of the gunship he brought. Beyond that, they all seemed to be dying just as they'd desired, falling only after reaving countless enemy lives, watering the stones of their ancient castle with the blood of their foes one last time. Perhaps it wasn't glorious, but it was right. They weren't the imperial fists to stand in gold beneath the burning sun and scream the names of their heroes to the uncaring sky. This was how the 8th Legion fought, and how all sons of the sunless world should finally die, screaming their anger alone down in the dark.
He thought for a moment of the lie he had told the human by his side, the lie that he relished this last hunt. He was perversely thankful for the chance to witness his former brethren meet their ends as true sons of the Eighth. But he cared nothing for shedding the cursed blood of these foolish Xenos heathens. What grudge did he bear against them? None. None at all. Killing them was only a pleasure to teach them the ways of the Eighth and the flaws of their inhuman arrogance. He considered it unlikely they could kill him with their scattered, weakling war parties. Perhaps 20 or 30 of them with better blades might be able to overwhelm him, but even then, no. He'd meet his end in this cold tomb, already interred within his coffin, finally falling into silence when the dreadnought shell ran out of power. It could be 10 years. It could be 10,000. He had no way of knowing. Malkarion shut off the vox and once more considered the human by his side. What was her name again? Had he even asked? Did it matter?
"Do you want to die down here, human?"
She hugged herself against the cold.
"I don't want to die at all."
"I am not a god to forge miracles from nothingness. Everything dies."
"Yes, Lord."
Again the silence.
"I hear more whispers," she confessed. "The aliens are coming again."
The immense cannon on the dreadnought's right arm lifted and made the clanking, reloading sounds that were already becoming so familiar to her. The whispers were already growing stronger. She could almost feel the warmth of breath stroking the back of her neck.
"My chronicle already ends in glory. Captain Malkarion, reborn in unbreakable iron, slaying Raguel the Sufferer, of the 9th Legion for the 2nd time, before at last passing into eternal slumber. That is a fine legend, is it not?"
Even without understanding the meaning of the words, she felt their significance.
"Yes, Lord."
"Who would ruin their legend with one last untold tale? Who would cast aside the slaughter of an imperial hero in favor of saving a single human from death in the infinite dark?"
Malkarion never gave her time to answer. His weapons rose even as he pivoted and filled the chamber with echoing, deafening gunfire. First Claw stood ready, surrounded by inactive servitors and priceless, precious suits of Terminator warplate that would never see sunlight again. Talos sheathed his gladius along his shin, locked his empty bolter to his thigh, and drew the blade of angels. His skull-painted faceplate, marked with the forehead rune depicting the title he so often hated, regarded his brothers in turn. Mercutian's breathing came in ragged growls, sounding wet over the vox, but he stood straight enough to hold his heavy bolter. He regarded the others through a dispassionate helm, crested by twin curved horns. Uzas wore his palm-printed helmet of ancient design, his chain axe in one hand, his gladius in the other. His cloak of skinned flesh was draped over one shoulder in grim, regal contrast to the skulls hanging from his armor. Sirion readied his chainsword and his bolter, the lightning bolt markings of his faceplate looking like jagged tear trails.
"Let's end this," he said. "I was bored of being alive anyway."
Talos smiled, though he'd never felt less amused. Uzas said nothing at all. Mercutian nodded, his words coming after a grunt.
"We'll get you to the surface, brother. Then when Varil's had his chatter, we'll get back to skinning that alien harpy."
"Simple plans are often the best,"
Sirion noted. Talos led them from the chamber, leaving their abandoned relics and mindless slaves to waste away in the dark.